happening?
It's dark in here.
I can't see anything.
Is there anybody out there who wants to talk to me?
Wait, I think I see the moon.
3, 2, 1.
This is Radio Moon.
It's showtime.
Welcome to Radio Moon, radio that's good for your mental health. Every third Thursday of the month, the Radio Moon Collective brings you an hour of radio from 2 to 3 p.m., created by people living in a full life with mental health issues. And as the Canadian Mental Health Association informs us, mental illness affects people of all ages, education, and income levels and cultures. Today is Thursday, February 16th, 2023.
Radio Moon is a program that comes out of Ford House, a community-based mental health organization which uses art, comedy, poetry, interviews, discussion, news, and music to present the many faces and realities of mental health. Most importantly, we have fun and learn the art and science of radio.
We would love to hear your voice, too. Feel free to send us fan mail to forwardhouse.education@gmail.com. We love to hear your feedback, perspectives, and thoughts.
This month, the Radio Moon crew is going to be a little glitch. We're going to bring a little amour, some amour, and a lot of romance into the station. That's right. Our theme this month is romance. Stay tuned to find out what our Forward House members have to say. Let's start off this February with an alt mental romance by a band that's considered the Radiohead of metal. Let's take a listen to No Ordinary Love by the Deftones.
Thank you.
Welcome back. You're listening to Radio Moon on CKUT 90.3 FM. So now we're going to jump right into this month's roundtable discussion. We have a full house here in the studio today with us. I'm your host, Nikki, for the roundtable discussion. I'm here with Joseph, Peter, Alana, Marissa, Jonathan, and Noelle. So in honor of Valentine's Day that just passed, the Moon crew will be weighing in with their opinions on romance. So let's get into it, my friends. First up, who here would consider themselves a romantic? Do you ever get romantic?
Yeah.
I personally, yes, I'm a romantic at heart. Yeah, I think I've always been. I think romance is just, I don't know, it's nice when you know, candles and everything. Like, I think it's nice when you can be romantic. I agree.
Wonderful.
Some people like can be, you know, kind of sleazy. I mean, just in general, you know, like it's not like appropriate a lot of the time. But like, there is a saying, hopeless romantic. It's mm-hmm. sort of like somebody that's got their head in the clouds, kind of like, you know, like bringing their girlfriend flowers or whatever. How do you say, you know, when they take the chair, you know, on a date?
Chivalrous?
Yeah, hold the door mm-hmm. for them or whatever. Yes. So sort of like that, I guess.
Would you consider yourself a hopeless romantic, Jonathan?
I don't date enough for I would be, obviously, but mm-hmm. I don't date enough, so.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough. What about anyone else?
Yeah, I'd consider myself a romantic. I've brought flowers to my girlfriend in the past.
That's very sweet, Noel.
But that's just a token of our relationship anyways.
Nice. Is there anyone here who is staunchly not a romantic? Decidedly not a romantic?
I'm a sucker for anything that's cheesy or romantic. I'm a sucker for romance. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's me. I spare no expense. On Valentine's Day, I took my ex to the Depot Alimentaire for a free meal. So anyhow, so that's the kind of romantic I am.
Shelling out the big bucks, Peter. And,
no, I did bring her some chocolates, so that was nice.
Nice.
I think.
So we've heard a lot from people doing romantic gestures for others. Do you ever do anything romantic just for yourself? Yeah, Elena, go for it.
Sometimes I'd have someone surprise me and gave me some chocolates for Valentine's Day. And I also... my mom let me buy some Reese Hart chocolates for Valentine's Day, and I ate them in remembrance of Valentine's Day.
Nice. Jonathan, did you have something to add there?
No.
Okay. Anyone else? Do you ever do anything romantic just for yourself? Maybe not even for Valentine's Day, but treat yourself kindly or romantically even? Not the easiest thing to do.
Well, up until a few years ago, my mom would, every holiday would buy me, give me money for chocolate or whatever, you know,
mm-hmm.
for Valentine's Day. But that's just like me, you know, pigging out on a holiday, you know, on Valentine's Day alone.
Mm-hmm. Good excuse to eat chocolate. Listen, not that we needed any excuse. Next question, a real thinker here. Do you guys believe in soulmates? Or what would a soulmate mean to you? Do you think there's such a thing?
I have a good example of what I think. Like, it could mean, like, I thought it meant, like, you know, like when you're younger, some people have imaginary friends. So this is like when a girl comes along that likes you, this is sort of something you have to grow out of, you know? There's a song by No Use for a Name called Soulmate, which I love. So,
mm-hmm.
Well, I don't really have a soulmate. I have a daughter who sent me a nice Valentine's card, which was a surprise. So I sent her one back.
That's nice, Noel. This year that happened?
Just this year that happened.
Nice.
For this Valentine.
Nice.
From my past, and this is going to take a minute, for people that I've used to date, I do believe in soulmates, and I do believe, like, love. So, I don't know. I haven't, truthfully, I mean... My one relationship, I don't know if that's your soulmate, but you always think that your first relationship is your first love, and you never forget that. So I do believe there's somebody out there. I mean, you know, when you know in your gut, when you're if you're dating somebody, and you know, you just know it. Like if things don't align properly, and it's just the connection is not there, and you know, also that comes with attraction too. But I do believe there's somebody out there, and if there isn't anybody right now that I haven't, and I do like question, why do I not have anybody that I'm in love with? I just feel like I just haven't met. It wasn't bad. It wasn't horrible. It was just we're not a good fit, and that there's somebody out there, and you have to keep on, you know, going, looking around, checking out people, going to even like, you know, all those apps, whatever, sometimes, you know, and you can get some real kooky people there. But I do believe that, like, you can find somebody on there. I found somebody on there on JD, Jewish Date, bam, first one. So yes.
Nice, Marissa. It sounds like you got to put in the work to find the soulmate, though.
Absolutely,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyone else have anything to share on soulmates? Great. Have your views on love changed since you were younger? How does it compare your views on love, soulmates, maybe relationships that you held maybe when you were younger? How does that compare to today?
I know that when I was younger, it was sort of immature, like, you know, kind of puppy love kind of thing, where, you know, somebody, a girl says you're cute, and then you sort of, your nose pops off like in Rudolph, you know, where she said he was cute, and he sort of got, you know, really excited, and it was Rudolph was embarrassed, you know.
Cool. Right on, the Rudolph kind of love.
Yeah.
Back when I was in the process of separating from my wife, my friend gave me a book about finding your soulmate, and I told him, I said, I don't need that book. I said, I'll do just like all the rest of the family does. We just go hang out at the waiting room at the prison, and we just pick up one of the women that are there, and there's no mess, no fuss. You know, just one day, you know, they're going to say, well, my boyfriend's getting out of prison, and it's over. There's no rancor, no bitterness. It's just done.
Great strategy, Peter. Thank you.
Yes, I recommend when you're going through this to see or read the book that he's still not into you.
He's just not that into you?
Yeah. I've learned a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think I've matured since those younger days. So I look at love in a more mature manner.
You have to be mature about relationships like nowadays. Because most women, they need, like, you know, somebody that has a steady job and a car and a house. Mm. Normally, I would think.
Mm. Do you guys think that what you're looking for in a relationship has changed since you were younger? In terms of, like, what Jonathan was just saying, you know, you're thinking more about, like, the stability that you can offer, yeah. Jonathan, and has what you offer to love or to a relationship changed since you were younger, do you think?
Well, I think it would have made more sense if I had, like, somebody that was with me through high school until, like, an adult.
Like a long term.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Joseph, did you want to add anything to this one? On whether your views on love have changed over time?
I think they have. In my case, it's seemed to me that when I was younger, I was really into searching for the soulmate.
Mm-hmm.
And when I found her, I think it, when we went for a ride, let's put it that way. And one of the things I think about, too, is the fact that whenever I'm with someone, I'm making an investment in my time. So it's really about what kind of relationship that you're looking for, whether it's a long-term or short-term. It seems to me that when I'm into it, I'm into it.
Mm-hmm. Great. Thank you. I have one more very short question for you all to wrap up this roundtable. Flowers or chocolate? Or both?
Flowers.
Chocolate.
Both.
Both?
Both.
Both from Elena and both from Marissa?
Neither.
Neither. Ooh, nice. What about you, Noelle?
I'd say chocolate.
I would say flowers personally. Marissa, what's replacing chocolate or flowers for you? Nothing? Just undying love?
Yeah.
Yeah, undying honestly, love and devotion?
Honestly, yes.
That's not too much to ask,
and Marissa. If she says she doesn't want to talk to you ever again, you probably won't.
Maybe.
You might not.
That's very true. I'm very, 100%. I will tell somebody, it's very not nice, but I will say, like, it's horrible, but, like, if you're not attracted to somebody, and it's you feel really bad, so.
Mm-hmm.
But I think... Yeah, I think things change over, I think when you're younger, it's very kind of like a facade, not a facade, but it's very like the way you look. And it's like when you're younger, it's like, oh, if it's a physical attraction. And I find as I get older, like it's very shallow and everything, the physical it takes like a back seat. It's really like if you feel butterflies, if you connect with the person, and it's the person's personality, if it can make you laugh, it can make you smile. I think that's definitely has changed for me.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, some wise words from the Moon Crew definitely in this roundtable. I want to thank you guys all for participating. You are listening to CKUT 90.3 FM.
Thanks, everyone, for participating in the roundtable. Our next song was the number one hit on Canadian RPM country hit list in 1975. The song tells a story about a man and a woman who meet at a restaurant and depart together for what presumably will prove to be a one-night stand at a motel. But he admits that it is not his first rodeo. Let's take a listen to Third Rate Romance by Jesse Winchester.
Sitting at a fancy table in the Ritzy restaurant. He was staring at her coffee cup. Just trying to get his courage up by applying booze. The talk was small when they talked at all. They both knew what they want. No need to talk about it. He's old enough to scope it out and still keep it loose. She said, "You don't look like my type, but I guess you do."
Welcome back. You're listening to Radio Moon, radio that's good for your mental health. Next on our show, let's welcome one of our new members of Radio Moon, Jonathan, who's going to tell us all about the genre of romance comics. Welcome, Jonathan.
The origin of romance comics dates back to the 40s during World War II. Superheroes were not in at the time. Crime stories, ghost stories, and romance comics were more popular. Comics were getting burned by their parents because they were too violent and racy, so the publishers were forced to use the comic book code in 1954, which was a symbol that represented censorship. Comic code editors would black out the writers' profanities before they were published. All the romance titles thrived from 1947 to 1977 during the Cold War. In 1954, Young Romance came out with the most popular amongst the romance titles. Other titles like Young Love, Teen Humor, Comics, Falling in Love, Heartthrobs, Millie the Model, Patsy Walker, Secret Hearts, Teenage Romance, and yes, surprisingly, Superman's Girlfriend, Lois Lane. Publishers included Chesswood Publications, Fox Feature Syndicate, Carlton Comics, Fawcett Comics, and yes, DC. Yes, you may be wondering what Marvel was doing at this time. During the war, Marvel was using superheroes for the soldiers who were fighting the Nazis, like in Captain America 3 versus Hitler. And that was Stan Lee's first issue. Archie was first appeared in Pep Comics 22, 1941, which became the most popular title at the time. Being in a controversial subject, the writers focused mainly on gender roles, love, sex, and romance. The readers could buy these issues in drugstores and local stands. When the Golden Age had ended, romance comics were pretty much over. By 1975, 1977, the main title was Young Romance, created by Joe Simon and Jack Kirby. In the Millennium, Golden Age comics were bright back for nostalgia. Manga, romance, and Harlequin comics became popular in the last 20 years. Now people can enjoy stories today, just not the pulp-style comics they were putting out during World War II. People were more conservative back then. But today we have comics that are more considered adult comics for people who want to buy copies of original romance comics. They would have to go to comic conventions and pay top dollar. The 20 cents doesn't apply. Thank you for listening.
Thanks, Jonathan. Next, let's hear from Marissa, who will read us a poem she wrote. It's called Romance is the Key to My Heart. Take it away, Marissa.
Romance is the key to my heart. Hands holding hands, walking down the street. Walking down the cobbler street, I see two lovers across the benching street. Bench kissing in a warm embrace in front of the Eiffel Tower. In Paris, ooh-la-la, très fantastique, j'aime. Watching a married couple dancing to their first song isn't the best? Isn't that the feeling you get when you meet someone who makes your heart flutter and gives you butterflies? Romance can be exciting, exhilarating, scary, and can make you feel like you're flying high. It's a union, kind of a marriage between two people. When two pieces of a heart can come together to make a whole. Watching our favorite movies, listening to romantic, sexy love songs on repeat, reading through the recent Danielle Steele's book. Who doesn't love romance? Touch, see, feel, leaves me breathless. It's beautiful, it's magical, and it's effortless. If chivalry exists in heaven, then please, yes. Loving gestures when someone opens the car door for you. I love love because at the end of the day, we all need love.
Thanks, Marissa, for that beautiful poem. Up next, we have a classic tune that's sure to stir up some emotions. It's Love and Hate by the legendary Dennis Brown, who is a huge inspiration and influence for many reggae singers in the late 1970s. So sit back, relax, and get ready to feel the passion and intensity of this timeless track.
Love and hate can never be friends. Oh no, oh no. Here I come with love and not hatred. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow I all the days of my life. Envy no one, no wish to be with no evil man. For there'll come the day when you'll be grieved by the Father's hand. Leave a brood's children. Oh yeah, leave a past our children. Yeah. My head is anointed and my cup runneth over. Yeah, surely goodness and mercy shall follow I all the days of my life.
To Radio Moon on CKUT 90.3 FM. Next up, here's Joseph, who's going to read about his life experience with romance and relationships.
My experience with romance begins when I was living with roommates and working as a salesman located in Boston's South Shore. And when working one day, I noticed someone who was visiting one of my colleagues. She was tall and blonde, and I asked my colleague for a mystery friend's mailing address. I began to write to her as she lived three hours north of Boston in the state of Maine, and this was my way of introducing myself until she visited again. Several months after writing my first letter, we decided to go on our first date during the Thanksgiving holiday, and it was clear to us both that we would continue to correspond, and it became our way of sharing some stories and to get to know each other better. This continued for about a year, and it was clear that being together was a possibility. Our romance continued to flow with our discussion of making plans for marriage and making decisions to move together soon materialized. Our decision was to have her move down to the South Shore, and it was then that we agreed to buy a house together in the town of Marshfield, Massachusetts, with the wedding date 18 months from the time I wrote my first letter. The wedding day and honeymoon to Bermuda came next, and we shared our lives together for the first time, getting to celebrate our wedding at a Cohasset restaurant on the waterfront, taking a boat ride together with her brother's help, signing up for the wedding day. Our honeymoon in Bermuda was spent in Southampton Parish, and numerous activities filled our time together, including a minor moped incident scarring our start to our life together. Getting to live together in our first home was filled with activities from landscaping to painting interior rooms for a growing sense of marriage development. Several months later, cracks began to appear in our new living experience, and after serious negotiation, we both decided that we needed to sell our house and move to southern Maine. It was a seller's market, and we found a piece of land in Kennebunk where we would build our custom home soon. The summer of 1986 was the launch of the latest chapter of our life together in southern Maine, and having our eyes set on the family to grow from here, we were prepared to fill the two bedrooms with children. We were looking forward to having the nuclear family we sought in this American dream we were a part of. During the first year of trying to get pregnant, we became aware of what would become an infertility diagnosis, and our introduction to the medical treatment was something we were prepared to endure. After 3 years, the navigation of the medical model to treat our diagnosis was becoming heavy to bear. Onto a fourth year, and marriage counseling became a necessity to deal with what was our reality. In the time it took to begin learning the way to express ourselves, I was diagnosed with a mental health condition, making our marriage a casualty as we reached the age of 30. I asked for a divorce, which Nancy agreed to do, and I moved from Kennebunk to Portland, thereby beginning my new lifestyle as a divorcee and tenant. We continued to stay in touch, becoming what I would describe as growing together apart when she asked me to help her select my replacement. I was happy to listen and offer my suggestion, which she took in order to begin her new life with a new marriage to John. This was in 1991. I believe that our investment in counseling made it possible for us to express what would become our needs and help us develop separately and respect the direction we needed to go as individuals. Thank you.
Thanks, Joseph, for that story. Give a special treat for all of you little monsters out there. Get ready to dance and sing along to one of the biggest hits from the pop icon herself. It's Bad Romance by Lady Gaga. So turn up that dial and sing along.
Caught in a bad romance.
Welcome back to Radio Moon. Next up on our show, here's Alana with her top 10 facts about Valentine's Day. Take it away, Alana.
Hi, my name is Alana, and I'm here to talk to you about different Valentine's Day facts. Here are my 10 favorite facts. Number one, on Valentine's Day, some people love watching horror movies because they love the adrenaline rush. The popular 1981 movie My Bloody Valentine is just one out of an endless list of favorite movies. Number two, Cupid is an iconic image for Valentine's Day. He is linked with Valentine's Day because he is the son of Venus, the Roman goddess of love and beauty. Number three, about 27.6 million people from the U.S. give Valentine's Day gifts to their dogs. In 2020, more than 17 million people collected presents for their cats. Altogether, American homes bought 751 million dollars worth of presents for their pets on Valentine's Day. Number four, Chileans swap cards, chocolates, and presents, as well as making unique dishes. One unique dish is pastel de chocolo, which is a sweet corn dish stuffed with minced beef, chicken, raisins, black olives, and onions. They also have an interesting drink that people love a lot. It's called mote con Huesilo, a sugar drink with alcohol that has dried peaches in it. In Denmark, the Danes will deliver white flowers called snowdrops for their loved ones and friends to show their love. Handing red roses may be recognized as a romantic courtesy today, but it was not until the 17th century that handing out flowers became a popular tradition. More than 8 billion candy conversation hearts are manufactured each year. In South Africa, all people, young and old, honor Valentine's Day by going out on love dates, going to clubs, going river rafting, and even visiting wildlife reserves. South Africa also joins in the Roman celebration of Lupercalia, where women attach their lovers' names on their sleeves for everyone to look at. 85% of Valentine's Day cards are purchased by women. And last but not least, 180 million cards are given on Valentine's Day. Thank you and happy Valentine's Day from Radio Moon.
Thanks, Elena. Next up, here's Noelle with a brand new poem for this very romantic time of year.
Hi, my name is Noel, and I have a poem for you today. It's called Romance. Respect, a song done by Aretha Franklin. This being Black History Month, people are doing things that deserve respect. It is also the month for lovers. Valentine is here. You tend to get more romantic around this time of year. It is a good time to go shopping for gifts to give to your loved ones. I could think of lots of reasons that one could become romantic. If you have a girlfriend, take her out to dinner, a nice cozy restaurant. Or if you are married to someone, give yourself a break and treat him or her to something special. Some people think that romance is a thing of the past, but don't be fooled by the glamour and the glitter. You might think it is a bed of roses. When all is said and done, have a great month filled with happiness. Thank you.
Thanks, Noel. Up next, we have a classic R&B ballad that's sure to tug on at your heartstrings. It's All My Life by the talented duo Casey and JoJo. So sit back, relax, and let the soulful harmonies take you on a journey through the ups and downs of true love. Let's take a listen.
This is just a moment to say thank you to my sisters to help me out today. One of them is Elaine, and she just turned 58 yesterday.
Happy birthday!
Happy birthday, Elaine. Thanks, Lucy.
You're listening to Radio Moon on CKUT 90.3 FM. Next up on our show, here's Peter, who will tell us all about his unlikely fascination with the fun and flirty genre of chick lit.
My reading preference was largely science fiction and fantasy with a side of espionage and military adventures, along with biographies. Back in 2002, I was listening to the CBC Radio 1's morning program when they had Jennifer Weiner on to talk about her first novel, Good in Bed. The author stated that she did not want men to read it because of the titillating title. She wrote about a young woman finding her true path in life. I was interested by the fact that the main character, Kenny Shapiro, was dealing with the stigma of being a large woman. I also liked the way the author used humor in the telling. Kenny is an entertainment journalist for a Philadelphia newspaper who goes on a break in a relationship with her journalist boyfriend of 3 years. Kenny learns that Bruce writes a column called Good in Bed in a national women's magazine. The first article was called Loving a Larger Woman. The ensuing years sees her go through highs and lows. She writes a script for a popular movie. She gets pregnant on a rebound tryst with her ex, Bruce. Her daughter is born prematurely, and she falls into a blue funk. As happens in romance novels and fairy tales, she finds true love and everything turns out happily ever after. But the writing was so clever that it turned me into a fan. Unashamedly, I added chick lit to my repertoire of genres to read.
Thank you, Peter. Next, here's Marissa, the movie critic, with her top 10 romantic movies of all time.
Today on the subject of love and romance, I will be naming my top list of most romantic movies of all time. In particular order, The Notebook, Love Actually, Pretty Woman, Dirty Dancing, Gone with the Wind, How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, Pretty in Pink, Jerry Maguire, Can't Buy Me Love, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, 50 Shades of Grey, yeah, Sleepless in Seattle, and Splash.
Thanks, Marissa. You've been listening to Radio Moon on CKUT 90.3 FM. We'll be back on Thursday, March 16th from 2 to 3 p.m. For more information on Radio Moon or Forward House, please visit www.forwardhouse.org or call us at 514-488-9119. And don't forget to listen to us online on CKUT.ca. We leave you today with this classic tune that's all about the healing power of love. Here's Sexual Healing by Marvin Gaye.